Well, welcome back to our study of 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 10, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 12. So if you'll look with me, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we don't dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but in measuring themselves by themselves, in comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding.
You know, this is a major problem. And I mean, it has been for years, but you've seen it more and more prevalent. It is not healthy to compare yourself to someone else. And yet I don't know why, after all these years of reading this in the Bible, that we haven't caught on, because ministers are still comparing themselves to ministers, or people are trying to be like other people, not understanding that you're unique. God designed you. God handcrafted you. There's no two people in here alike. And He knew what he was doing. He makes no mistakes. He had purpose in mind. And so we have gifts that are different. We have personalities that are different. And so it's foolish, actually, to try to compare yourselves among yourselves. And this is what, this translation, which I'm using the King James translation here, it says they're unwise to do this. Now, people are talking about role models and trying to be like this, and how many people tried to be like Billy Graham? How many people tried to talk like Billy Graham? And you watch and you want to get the antics of the minister, and you want to be like this, and God didn't call you to be Billy Graham. There's only one Billy Graham, there'll never be another one. You understand? There's only one Paul. There'll never be another one. You understand? There's one you. And you've got to be comfortable in who you are, who God's called you to be. I remember years ago, I was on a plane going somewhere, and this businessman was sitting beside me, and he asked me what I did, and I told him I was a minister. And the first thing he asked me was, "Who's your mentor?" I said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "Who do you try to pattern after?" I said, "Well, I mean, I don't try to pattern after any man. I mean, I just." He said, "You know what?" I said, "Well, I would hope I try to pattern after Jesus Christ." And that's the end of the conversation. But people think that you're supposed to be like somebody else. If you're in this denomination, whatever their big guru is, everybody's wanting to be like him. If you're in this one, everybody's wanting to be like them. We've been liberated through Jesus Christ to be who we are in Christ. And you're liberated to function with your gifts, your ability, with your personality. And you know, we looked at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 12th chapter of Romans, how he talks about the body of Christ. We're all members. But we're not all the body. We're a member of the body. And each member of your physical body has a different function. I have four fingers on that hand, but those four fingers have different functions. And so it would be foolish for the little finger to try to act like the index finger, wouldn't it? But yet that's what you see in the body of Christ. And then people are looking at other people. Well, I want to be like him. And I thank God that from the very beginning, that God had dealt with me in such a way that I had no desire to be like anybody. You understand? And so that's an extreme liberation when you're just who you are. You're not trying to impress anybody. You talk with the vocabulary that, you know, the neighborhood I grew up in, my vocabulary is different than the neighborhood of other people. But I'm all right with all that. I'm not intimidated by those things. You follow me? And once you find who you are in Christ, it liberates you to just be who God wants you to be. And that's the pleasure. Paul didn't try to be like Peter or John or any of the rest of them. He had his own unique ministry. Now, you understand, these guys were followers of Jesus before Paul was. He was actually a persecutor of Jesus. But when he had a revelation, that confrontation with Jesus Christ, it changed him forever. And it gave him a confidence in who he was. I am what I am by the grace of God. Is that what he said? And so are ye. So am I. We are what we are by the grace of God. So why would I want to complain about how God made me, what giftings God's given me, or what personality that I have? That's a slap in the face of God to say you don't know what you're doing. You should have made me like this. I would have wanted to be like that. I try to get people to just lay all that stuff aside and quit trying to impress anybody. God's going to look at your heart. You're not fooling him with exterior stuff. He's going to go straight to the heart of the matter. He knows who you are. Just be who you are. And then you don't trip up and somebody see who you really are. If you're who you are all the time, you're who you are. You understand? But if you're trying to be what somebody else wants you to be, somewhere along the line, you're going to drop your guard and mess up, and they're going to see you for who you really are. Don't compare yourself to other people. You want to compare yourself to somebody? I'll give you a comparison. Jesus Christ. That's your role model. That should be your mentor. Do your best to follow him and to be like him. We're representing him. How many people want to represent another person? They want to represent a church. They want to represent an organization. They want to represent a denomination. God has not called us to do that. God's called us to represent a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whether we're working on the job, whether we're in a full-time ministry or whatever, we're to represent Jesus Christ. I was just as responsible for representing Jesus when I worked as a mechanic as I am today as a minister. You understand? And at that time, I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was fulfilling purpose. He was just training me. You understand? I was going through a stage. You ever gone through a stage? Okay. One step leading me to another step, and that's the way God does with you. And don't complain about whatever stage you're in. You just stay in step with the Lord. You follow the Spirit of God. And you let the Spirit of God lead you. And he'll lead you right into your purpose. And if you'll just follow his lead, you'll fulfill the purpose of God. You don't have to look to your left or your right to see what other people are doing. You just do what the Lord's told you to do. You think about after Jesus' resurrection when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" those three times. And then he told Peter the death he was going to die. And then Peter looks around and he sees John. Well, what about him? And Jesus says, "What's that to you?" Don't concern yourself with John. You concern yourself with Peter. You stay focused on what I've called you to do. I'll take care of John. That's the essence of it, you understand. And that's how he wants us to think, to where we are fully liberated to be who God made us to be and to do what God's called us to do. There's more ministries out here than you can count. You can't even count all the functions of your physical body, all the organs and everything that's involved in the makeup of your physical body. Well, the body of Christ is far bigger than that. And every one of them has an important function. You know, I'm not wanting to do without any part of my physical body, are you? Well, we shouldn't want to do away with any part of the spiritual body, the body of Christ. So we should actually appreciate the diversity in the body of Christ, the different gifts, the different abilities. I enjoy listening to other ministers who have different deliveries than me. It'll actually grow you. They'll have an approach. And they'll say something that will provoke something in you. Well, I'm not threatened by that. You understand? We learn from one another, and we're never to compete with one another. This has been the fallacy of ministry, is ministers trying to compete with ministers, or church members trying to compete with church members. And I'm telling you, thank God there's no competitiveness in me when it comes to ministry. I'm going to compete against me doing my best. And if I do my best and you do better, then I'll applaud you. I did my best. I did as good as I could do, and I'm all right with that. And you have to come to grips with none of us know it all. None of us have it all. Paul didn't have it all. You understand? These guys worked together. They didn't fight one another. And we have to learn to be that way in the ministry today, to where we appreciate one another. One church member should appreciate another church member instead of getting over here in the corner and talking about them and all this type stuff. If they have a flaw and you think it needs to be fixed, then get before God and God alone. And you intercede for that person with the love of Christ. And it may be that they don't have the flaw. It could be in you. I'll let you think about that one. Okay.
Comparison opens the door for doubt or pride. Either way, it can get you into trouble. And it can do damage to you personally, into a relationship, so it doesn't benefit you at all. And it can stop you in your tracks.
Absolutely. If you think about all the jealousy, the contention, all these works of the flesh, and that's what it is. When you start comparing yourself, it's flesh comparing itself to flesh. And I guarantee you there's not a person in the room that we can't find a fault with. And everybody in the room can find fault with me. Believe me, I've heard a lot of them. Over the years, you understand. We're not flawless. We're forgiven. Our perfection is in Jesus Christ. You follow me? He's perfect. He's flawless. And so we stay in Him. And if we're looking at things, if we look at people through the eyes of Jesus, we're not seeing flaws. We're seeing potential. Jesus doesn't look at the flaws in me. He looks at the potential in me. If He had been looking at the flaws, He would have never called me into the ministry. You understand? He could have written me off a long time ago. But what He looks at is, I have put this in this person. I brought this person in earth with a purpose. I want that purpose fulfilled. And so he's my biggest cheerleader, if I can say it that way. Christians should be the biggest cheerleader of other Christians. We shouldn't be criticizing or comparing. We should go for it, man. Use that gift. Develop that potential. You with me? And then don't set up your evaluation system. And really, if you look at this in the Greek language, it's talking about estimation or evaluation. Mm-hmm. Who am I to say that you are better or worse? Then if I'm doing that, then I have set up some type of measuring system.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, we're the one that's the measuring rod. So we're measuring everybody else by us. Well, who said your measuring rod's accurate?
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
No, the We're to grow up into the stature of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? And so here's the measuring rod for all of us. And so if we all look at Jesus, we'll all find we can improve. But we can all see qualities. It's not a bad thing to see qualities that God's put in you. Just don't get prideful. Use them. God's given me this potential, so I'm going to use this potential for the kingdom of God. You follow me? And stop looking around at other people. Be who God made you to be and do what God's ordained you to do. And we'll be happy. Amen? I tell people, you know, I've had over the years, you know, people come to me and they want to do this. I said, listen, be what God called you to be. I had a guy to come to me, well, more than one, but a particular guy I'm thinking about, and he came back and he said, which Bible college do you think I should go to? I said, well, has God told you to go to a Bible college? No. Well, I said, well, why are you going to a Bible college? Listen to the Spirit of God. You can get into many of these Bible colleges and they'll ruin you for life. They won't take you to Jesus, they'll take you away from Jesus. They'll indoctrinate you into a denomination, they won't indoctrinate you into God Himself. You follow me? Now, this sounds strange for somebody teaching in a Bible college, right? No. If God deals with you, by all means, go. You know, even with my own daughter, when she graduated from high school and she was talking about college, actually before she graduated, career day and all that stuff, and she told me where she wanted to go, I thought, oh my goodness, that's not where I want you to go. I didn't say anything. I said, are you sure? I said, I want you follow the Spirit of God. What do you feel like God speaking to your heart? And so she did that, and I took her down to this college, several hundred miles from here. And when I pulled on that campus, my heart just sunk. I said, Tammy, are you sure that this is where God said for you to come? He said, yeah. I said, now listen, if it's not, we'll turn this car around and go back to North Carolina. And you put all the blame on your daddy. But that's where God wanted her to be for 2 years. And so it was a growing time for her in 2 years. She learned a lot of things. She learned a lot of what not to do in 2 years. Now, when I picked her up that last semester of the second year, and she was in the parking lot waiting, she said, I've had it up to here. You with me? But it was a growing time. And then, you know, she went back to college and found out that God had a different plan as far as her pursuit in life and her career. And she's found her niche. And, you know, working with special ed people. And she loves it. She's where she's supposed to be. Here's the thing. People try to put everybody in ministry, not understanding what ministry is. There's more ministry out there than behind a podium. You know, my son's a police officer, and he's done this, and he's done that, and he's done the other. But when he went through the school and the training, one of his instructors told his wife, who was standing right there, I was right there, and this instructor said he was born to be a cop. And I'm telling you, since he's gone on the police force, he has found his place in life. God has called him to be a police officer, not a preacher. But too many preachers want to make their children preachers. You with me? When you can be far more effective in what God called you to do. And how many of you have ever read the 13th chapter of Romans? Some. The rest of you, I'd recommend. But it talks about how God has ordained the civil authorities. Civil authorities. And he's talking about what we would today call police officers. God's ordained that. I had a man to come to me many years ago and asked me if I thought somebody could call you, if God could call somebody into law enforcement. Because his pastor was trying to get him to go into the ministry. And I said, well, if God can call you into the ministry, God can call you into law enforcement. You don't listen to men. You know what God's put in your heart. You go with what God's put in your heart. And the interesting thing about it, when my son went through the training, he didn't even know, nobody knew he knew this man or anything. This guy has moved out of state by now, literally. And the instructor started talking about the best law enforcement officer he had ever seen was the guy who came and asked me if God could call you into law enforcement. Okay? And so don't let people try to stereotype you. You need to know the Word of God, whatever vocation of life you're in. I needed to know the Word of God as a mechanic. You understand? You really need to know it when you're working in that kind of environment. You following? And so don't feel pressured into doing something God didn't call you to. Well, this guy did this, and he went to school here, and he got this degree, and he got that degree, and he has this position, he has that position. Listen, if God called you to sweep the floor, that's the highest position you could have. That's where your honor is. You understand? If that's what God's called you to do, that's your niche. Get in it, stay in it, and you hold your head up high, and don't be ashamed to tell people what you do. This is what God's called me to do. You understand? And be proud of it, but not in a wrong way. Just thank God you're in the place you're supposed to be. Amen. I want to get the competitiveness out of the body of Christ. I want to get the big I's and little U's out of the body of Christ. This separation, it's actually caste. You know, if you have this job, you're important. If you have this job, you're not important. Now you became the measuring rod, mm-hmm. not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? There's parts of my body or your body that nobody will ever see. But how important are they? Life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Parts you can't see, you can't do without.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? And so we've got to get out of this mentality of comparing and setting up our own standard. We need to follow the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. You getting the picture? Okay. I see too much of this, and it's held people back. It's caused people to go in the wrong direction. People have gone into the ministry God didn't call into the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom, in our early years of life, in elementary and in early junior high, God had told my mom to work with the Cherokee Indians during the summer. And she would go up and stay on the reservation 2 weeks at a time working with the Cherokee Indians. And had a tremendous love till the day she died. She loved those people. You understand? But by the time we got into late junior high, early high school, I remember telling Dad that the Lord had called her into nursing. So she went to nursing school and probably ministered to more people as a nurse than she ever did any other way. And at her funeral, people would come up to my brothers and myself and say, you know, you guys don't know me, but your mom prayed for me before I went in surgery. And mom would pray. She would pray. You understand? And she had a reputation. She nursed till she was 81 years old. But she had a reputation of one who represented God. And she didn't care who you were. And she'd tell you in a red hot second who Jesus Christ was. And you start cussing around her and she'd tell your doctors and the rest of them, you don't take the name of my God in vain. You with me? So what she did was she was a tremendous representation in that field of ministry. You with me? So don't just think ministry is preaching or teaching. It's representing Jesus Christ in whatever vocation of life you are. Okay?
Verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the area of ministry that God has assigned to us, which reaches even to you.
You know, I was looking at that, and it's actually talking about immoderate. Paul says, I'm not going to boast in an immoderate way, but I will brag about Jesus.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with boasting about Jesus. Just don't boast about yourself. Now, if you keep all this in context, these guys that are coming in and corrupting this church at Corinth, they're presenting themselves as somebody special. Well, do you not see that all over the world today?
Mm.
Preachers, you know, they got to have these titles and all this type stuff, and then they want to get the big following, the big empires, and all this type thing. They're representing themselves. God never called you to represent you. As a matter of fact, God's called you to die. Read Romans. Read Galatians. Crucified. Now, if you've been crucified, that'll kill you. You understand? But yet, it's that old carnal man that's put to death so the life of Jesus Christ can be expressed through that same physical body that was expressing the devil. I know we can all relate to that, I'm sure. Okay? But God wants to express himself through us. But in order for that to happen, we can't represent ourselves. We have to die to self. And then we brag about the Lord. Here again, I go back to Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I don't come behind any of them. We'll read that here in a little while. Okay? So he's not afraid to brag about what God's done in his life. He's just not boasted about himself. Boasted about the Lord.
For we are not overextending ourselves as if we had not reached you, since we have come to you with the gospel of Christ.
So he's not overextending himself. Actually, as though we reached, in the Greek, it says in the manner.
Mm.
We don't overextend ourselves in that manner like those guys are doing. We're not overextending ourselves like they're doing. But he says, we've come to you as far as you in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as this unfolds, what you'll find is Paul is following the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
These guys are just coming in, not following the Spirit of God. But Paul's come in, and he's following the Spirit of God. He was at Corinth first.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced these people, these Corinthians, he introduced them to Jesus. Now, once he has that planted and he's gone, then these guys are coming in,
yeah,
and they're trying to work in a field somebody else has already planted. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And take the credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so often that's what happens today. People are looking for credit. I did this. I did that. Our minister did this. I remember hearing one guy and I won't call his name. Most of you would know it, but he kept on saying what they had done, what they had done, what they had done, and given the insinuating that there were the ministry to reach the world. I thought, you're deceived, buddy. You're not going to reach the world. No ministry is going to reach the world. We reach out to the world, but it will take thousands and thousands of ministries to reach the world. There's places on the continent you've never heard of, and there's places the world they don't have TV and internet. So don't you deceive yourself in thinking you're going to do it. No, what we do is get the word out, and then you can't beat one-on-one. This one telling this one, this one telling this one. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Isn't that what he told the madman of Gadara? I want to go with you, Jesus. No, you go back and tell your family and friends what the Lord's done for you. Everybody has a testimony. That's a representation of Jesus. You follow me? So you have a field of ministry. Don't try to step over here in someone else's field. Just do what God's called you to do. And I'm not telling you to be territorial. And I've got to get this in here. This is a sore spot with me, okay? Pastors are so territorial. Afraid somebody's going to steal their sheep. You know, I went into a church, and I actually went into pastor. It was the church had split. And so they were... We were going to build another church, and they were going to build it what the board thought was too close to that church. And they wanted me to go to the officials and oppose it. And I told them, I said, I don't care if they build on that vacant lot next door. You understand? Because I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And the people that he's called me to minister to will come here. I'm not afraid of anybody going over there. If they go over there and prefer that ministry, that's where they need to be anyway. You with me? You don't have any sheep. They're Jesus' sheep. And so he's just entrusted you to feed them while you're here. And so quit calling them yours. And understand this. Jesus is building his church. You can build yours. But I want to be in the one he's building.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? Okay.
We are not bragging beyond measure about other people's labors, but we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged.
You know, this is an interesting verse to me. And Paul said, you know, I'm not wrong in the things I'm saying. And when you guys increase in faith, when you really get to the point, you get your faith established in the Lord Jesus Christ and you grow in that, you're going to appreciate what I did. You understand? A lot of people don't appreciate things until they mature. I couldn't appreciate my father when I was a certain age like I appreciate him today. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a shame that they're dead and gone before reality starts setting in. And I don't know how many times I have said to myself, I wish I would have paid attention to him in these particular areas. He knew so much, he could have taught me. But how many of you know when you're 17, 18 years old, you know it all? You think you do. You understand? And here's a guy, you know, with all this experience, and you're not drawing off of it. I've been in settings with ministers. I remember, a couple different settings one of them, Jane was there. We were in Wilmington, and it was Dr. Anderson's, our president of our accreditation commission. His dad was there, seasoned minister. And we had the opportunity of being seated right there with him and just listen to him. Now, what amazed me was there's a couple other guys over here, and they were wanting to tell their stories about ministry. And here's a guy that's old enough to be their daddy. And this is a guy that had been around the block. This is a guy who had weathered things. This is a guy who had experience. And I remember sitting there and thinking, why don't you guys shut up and listen to this man? I want to hear what he has to say. And I cherish that. I cherish that time that I've been able to sit with these seasoned men who have weathered the storms for Jesus Christ. They have the experiences, you know, and they're standing strong, but they're not boasting. Their boast is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time's up here, so we'll stop and take a short break. Any of you guys?